For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Good day once again, everybody. Thanks for hopping on the latest edition of Gun on One. It is powered by Patterson Square Garden. I'm Derek Gunn. Well, the week of Super Bowl 56 is upon us, and the word electric comes to mind. But when you look at the two principals involved, the Los Angeles Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals, they are two offenses that can basically explode at any given moment. One team, you could say, well, some people expected to get there, but the other team came from out of nowhere to get this far. And of course, when you're talking Super Bowl, you're talking about major betting implications. And when I say major, we're not talking about thousands, hundred thousands, millions. We're talking about billions of dollars will be bet on this Super Bowl. And the one guy I love to talk to when it comes to betting, because I know his story well, and I know how his mind works. If my mind worked like that, I would be set for life. But he is a good friend of mine. He is the one and only Brad Feinberg. Man, how you doing, Brad? It's been a while since we've talked.
It's been way too long. And by the way, Derek, we'll settle for millions, me and you, right, on this game. We'll make millions. We'll leave the billions for, like, the Bill Gates of the world. We'll take millions. And we know who's going to win, right? We know everything. We know, you know. But anyway, it's great to be on your show. You're one of my favorite people in the world. Thank you, man. And I really look forward to talking to you.
Well, if you make me millions, I'm going to tell you right now, I will be disappearing right after the game and going into the witness protection program. And I will be sending you coded messages for the next 5 years to let you know where I am and how I'm doing. But very few people will know my whereabouts.
Do you know, I saw a guy that I actually know made a $20 bet. He picked the exact score of the Bengals-Chiefs game, yep, and the 49ers-Rams game. Do you know how much it paid him?
How much?
$20 bet.
How much?
$560,000.
Oh, my goodness. Jeez.
Why couldn't you? I mean, I had 2017, you know, Rams. Why couldn't you have just told me 27-24 Bengals?
I wish I would have known. Where were you? We could have collaborated. Man.
Hey, but we would have put at least a couple hundred on
it. At least that. And, but in all seriousness, when you look at this sense of business, yeah, Cincinnati Bengals team, at any, yeah, point this season, did you honestly feel this team could make the Super Bowl? And let's go back a, yes, little bit. I know you make a lot of preseason wagers. Did you ever include Cincinnati in any of your preseason?
I did.
You did?
Yeah, I do have the Bengals. Wish I had a bigger portfolio of them, but I do have. I had a Bengals ticket at 50-1 to win the AFC and 100-1 to win the Super Bowl. It was as high as 150-1, but I didn't, unfortunately, was able to get that. But I did get 100-1. Look, Joe Burrow, a few years ago when he was at LSU, Derek, they were my biggest win right in my career, where I bet LSU, I think it was 100-1 to win the national championship. And I watched every one of their games, and I really, honestly, really believed that Joe Burrow had a chance to be the best player in all pro football. So this was a guy that I followed very, very closely. I think he's a total winner. And I actually added betting on the Bengals. I think it was around week, I bet them to win the division, which I won a nice amount on. And I added them right around week 10 or 11. They were probably like 7-4. And I was still able to get 25-1 to win the AFC. So look, I'm not as shocked as others because I love Joe Burrow that much.
Wow. What about the Rams? Now, they've become the second straight team to be playing a Super, yeah, Bowl in their backyard. Did you also pick the Rams over in the NFC?
They're one of the teams I have. But again, Derek, I'll end up having like 10 teams. Okay. They were one of the 10 teams I did have, you know, and unfortunately their odds were never crazy high. I think I have them at like 15-1, which is still good. But again, there were other teams I would have done better on than if they had gotten there. Look, this Rams team, when they got Matt Stafford, Derek, we knew, right? We knew that was a big upgrade. And, you know, they've done what they had to do. They did everything they can to give the game away to Tampa Bay, but they didn't. And then, you know, they got the win last week. And then, look, they went all in, right? They put their chips in. They're like, look, we'll give up a second-round pick for Von Miller, whatever it was, third-round pick. We're trying to win this season because who knows when you're going to get back, which is why with Buffalo, and I just have to say this. I know we're talking gambling, but, Derek, I can't help myself. I have to say this to all your listeners. Sean McDermott, what he did. They should hire someone like me, and it doesn't have to be me, but someone like me on the sidelines, and I'll tell you why. As a gambler, I'm always thinking, how can I find edge? What loophole is there within the rules? How can I win this game that no other person except dumbasses like me are thinking about constantly, okay? But this is my life. Like, I'm always looking for, they had to make rules for me in my fantasy leagues because I would circumvent, within the rules, I'd find every loophole because as a gambler, I'm thinking, how can I get this to my edge? Well, in the NFL, Derek, in a basketball game, there's 5 seconds to go. Your team's up 3. What happens usually? You tell me. What usually happens when the team's up 3 and the other team has the ball?
Well, if the team's up 3 and the other team, they're going to try to deliberately foul them, send them to the free throw line. Yeah.
Thank you. So every coach does it because it's smart. Right. Well, let me ask you a question, Derek. What happens? First, they should have just kicked the ball to the 5-yard line. That would have taken 7 seconds off the clock and ended the game. They made that was mistake number one. But mistake number two, and this would have ended the game, all they need to do is put every single player in a bear hug at the line of scrimmage. Get a 5-yard defensive holding penalty. Literally, Tyreek Hill, you were laughing at me going like this, Tyreek. And you just put him in, don't even give him a chance to run a play. 5, 6, 7 seconds off the clock. Mahomes is like, what the heck's going on here? He's going to have to throw the ball in. And it's going to be 1st and 5 at a 30. Game over.
You should be coaching.
And excuse me, these coaches don't.
You should be coaching in the NFL, my man.
I don't pretend. See, I know you're saying this. I don't pretend I can coach, but I can understand game theory as good as anyone on the planet in terms of how to maximize things, how not to make mistakes like that. That is something I'm elite at. Could I coach a play? Heck no. I'd be embarrassed. I wouldn't even attempt to say I could. I'm not. That's not my thing. But in terms of understanding lot probabilities and logic and the best chance for our team to win the game, I would be as good as anyone. There's other people like me, but all the people I gamble with all said the same thing. What is McDermott doing? Why are you not intentionally committing a 5-yard holding penalty and ending the game? Why are you leaving up to chance?
You know what? You're the analytics guy. See, you're what the NFL is all about now, the analytics. You need to be putting your resume out there to get yourself an analytics job.
I will say this, and I say this with all humble whatever. If I was on an NFL sideline, I would probably win an NFL team at least one game a year based on making the optimal decisions that I see head coaches make mistakes on every single week. And the McDermott one just put me over the edge because I did have Buffalo. And it just really frustrated me, Derek, because again, and he's like, oh, Josh, I was like, oh, we'll be back. But let me ask you a question, Derek. How many times did Dan Marino get back after he won the Super Bowl? How many times has Aaron Rodgers been back? You don't know he's going to be back. So when you have that chance, you can't screw it up. And McDermott not knowing the rules. And by the way, Derek, end of a first half of the game, how many times do you see there's 8 seconds left in the half? It's 2nd down and goal at the 9-yard line. There's 8 seconds left. There's time for one more play. Same thing. Tackle the guys. Hold them. Don't even karate chop them. Do whatever you want. Then it's going to be the 5-yard line. They're going to have to kick a field goal anyway. Why even give them a chance to run a play?
Oh, my goodness. See, you think way too deeply about this stuff, man.
But no one does it.
Nobody does it.
And now, again, the rules would change. After Brad Feinberg was in the rule, they'd be like, oh, we can't allow that. But as long as those are the rules, utilize them.
Well, we are here to tap into your optimal mind when it comes to the betting scenario. Now, as you know, as we sit here right now, the Rams are 4.5-point favorites for Super Bowl 56. Are you leaning towards the favorite, or does something tell you you may have to load up on the underdog in this one?
Well, Derek, again, just everyone listening out there, my specialty is doing the futures and the props, right? I try to deal in inefficient markets where I can find something that is not right, for lack of a better number. The numbers are wrong, or my numbers, I think, are better than the sports books in terms of setting futures and props. The spreads are very, very difficult, Derek. Those are efficient markets. I will tell people what I think, But again, always remember, again, these are just liens that take them for a grain of salt. You can ask your wife. She would also know. It's those things are much harder to predict. But I know I'm on here and I want to give you what I thought. So listen, from a matchup point of view, right? The defensive line and the pass rush of Aaron Donald and Von Miller versus a very suspect offensive line in Cincinnati would lead you to maybe think, wow, matchup-wise, it's just maybe very too much to chew for Cincinnati. The ride may end here. But, and I go back to two things, Derek. The Joe Burrow thing, I think in his elimination game, Derek, he has like 55 touchdowns and 2 interceptions in his career. There's something about this guy where he just does it. And I'm really just trying not to overanalyze it, Derek. Let's look at the last 2 rounds of the NFL playoffs. Every game has come down to the last play. Literally every single one. Why is this game really any different? I don't think the Rams are any great shakes. I think the Rams are more likely winner of the two teams. And my numbers made it 3.5. I do make a number of every game. It's 4/4.5. My lean here would be to the underdog Bengals getting 4.5 points. But as I said, betting the games, in my opinion, is a harder struggle than doing the props. Which is what I like to do. Like I had a show this year, Derek. I think I went 100 wins and 53 losses doing my props. So that's pretty good.
How much should the fact that the favorites have gone 3-1-1 in the last 5 Super Bowls weigh into the equation?
Every game, Derek, to me, is its own masterpiece, so to speak, right? The fact that the favorites did well in years past, necessarily, that doesn't mean anything to me because I don't think Joe Burrow or Matt Stafford's thinking, oh, favorite won 2 years ago. Now it means I'm going to win. Or Joe Burrow's like, oh, God, like the favorite won. I don't put too much into that. I really look at each individual game on its own. Now, if you have a situation, for example, years back when Marvin Lewis was coaching the Bengals, they seemed, for whatever reason, to struggle in those games and those first-round games. He could never get out of those first-round games. In a situation like that, sometimes with that, I maybe think there's a little bit to it where there starts to be a little bit of pressure on that team because of the coach maybe not being able to get past that mark. And maybe that happened to Andy Reid even in Philadelphia we saw. So, but in a situation like this, Derek, I would say I don't really factor much.
Yeah, the over-under for this game is 48.5. If you were laying money on that aspect of it, which way would you go, the over or the under?
I would lean under in that I actually think both, again, I actually do like over 6.5 punts in this game. That was actually a prop I did bet. I do think that we have, especially the Rams, have a defense that has been playing really, really well. We saw in the second half, Cincinnati make some nice adjustments on Mahomes. I still wonder if Mahomes got injured, Derek. I don't know if you heard anything. Like, that's something I'll wonder forever in my day. I've never seen a superstar player go from playing Hall of Famer to Hall of Shamer like that in one half of football. I've never seen it. Something that was that drastic of a turnaround. But I would lean here to the under. I think points will be more of a premium. But obviously, these are two great offenses and that have the ability to put a lot of points on the board, but I will lean here to the under.
Okay, going into this game, now Cincinnati has covered the spread in 6 consecutive games against teams with winning records. Does that make you pump the brakes a little bit and kind of reanalyze the thought process going into the betting aspect of it for this game?
Well, it's one of the reasons that Derek, that I do lean to Cincinnati. Okay. Look, this is a team that they've done well in situations like this. Against Tennessee was number 1 seed and finally was healthy. They got Julio Jones, they got A.J. Brown, they got Derrick Henry, the band was all back together. That was a tough game, and they won that game despite getting sacked 9 times from Joe Burrow. And then, of course, last week's win, everyone, including yours truly, was saying, no way, they cannot win at Kansas City. Kansas City won the AFC Championship game the week before. This is just a coronation waiting to happen. They get down 21-3. Again, there's something to me about Joe Burrow and maybe about this team where they have, you know, Derek, they call it that it factor in show business, or that there's something about Cincinnati. They have that it factor because of Burrow or whatever it is, where they seem to rise up in these games. So, yeah, I actually do put a little.
Okay, so you were talking about Cincinnati's porous offensive line a few moments ago. And against Tennessee, Joe Burrow got tattooed. He got sacked 9 times, got hit well over 20 times, yet Cincinnati somehow found a way to win the game. Move on to the AFC Championship game against Kansas City. They protected him much better against the Chiefs pass rush. So I set that up to say this. Can Cincinnati's porous offensive line stand up to the Rams' more high-profile defensive front?
Well, Derek, listen, to me, that is the question, because last year's Super Bowl, and what I encourage everyone to listen to the podcast is this. Last year's Super Bowl, if you asked me before the game, who would I think was going to win, Kansas City or Tampa Bay? I thought it was hard, but I picked Kansas City to win the game. Two possessions into that game, Derek, I made massive live bets on Tampa Bay, and I texted my friends, Tampa Bay is going to win this game by 3 touchdowns. And they're like, what are you talking about? They're losing 3-0. I'm like, they can't protect Mahomes. I'm like, this is going to be, they're not going to score any points. I'm like, they cannot protect their quarterback. This is not going to end well for them. And I know Andy Reid is stubborn, where as great of a coach as he is, he's not maybe going to try to run the ball more or do other things. He's just going to pass that much more. So if I see a game live betting where Aaron Donald, Von Miller are getting in, I will think at that point that probably Cincinnati is drawing dead, so to speak. That is the answer. The question, Derek, is what you just said. Mm-hmm. Because if they cannot protect Joe Burrow, they will not, in my opinion, not be able to overcome it like they did against
Tennessee. Right, now, how many total bets are you wagering on this Super Bowl? I mean, you're all over the place. You cover your base as well. So how many total bets are you going to make on this Super Bowl?
I'll probably have about 30 different bets.
30 bets.
Friends of mine that'll have about over 100. Yeah. Yeah. I'll have about 30 or so, and I'll definitely give some out to everyone listening on the show. But yeah. But there's a lot of different bets I'm going to have, and some other bets I can't get. Some other friends of mine were able to get on bad. Like sometimes, Derek, what'll happen is the sports books will make a mistake. It's just as simple as that. They'll put out a bad line. I'll give you an example of one. There was a bet where, what will be longer, the longest field goal in the game, the over-under for yards, or the over-under for points? And the over-under, I think, for the game opened at like 50.5, and the over-under for field goals was like 48.5. And really quickly, the over-under got bet down to 48.5. But the prop was what will be longer. The over-under was minus like 250, which it ended up being the same over-under. It should have been the exact same. And a good friend of mine was able to hammer that one. Sometimes it'll just be a mistake like that, that unfortunately I'm not able to get my hands on all those bets, because, you know, but people who literally will find stuff like that, pieces of gold like that, I'm always looking, but sometimes it's hard to actually get in on that. And again, you maybe have a few seconds to do it.
Wow. All right. Now, to be as successful as you have been in your career doing what you do, you have to be fearless to a certain degree. Has there ever been a one, if you can think of one, has there ever been a bet you've struggled with before you've made the bet? You didn't feel good about it, but you had to do it anyway because it was a challenge, and yet you had to sit back and sweat it out until the very end.
Man, here, Derek, what I will say is one thing that I've become very good at, right? It's hard for the recreational bettor to do. I'll give you an example. Let's suppose I think a certain wager has a 25% chance of happening. So the odds should be 3-1, okay? And if I'm getting 4-1 on that bet, okay, I'm getting 4-1, and I think the odds should be 3-1. It's a bet I think is going to lose, right? Like, but I feel like I have to make it. I'm always willing to put in bets, always, that I think are going to lose. Because I bet numbers, not what I think is going to happen necessarily in one game. I try to say, over the long run, what is going to happen? So I'm constantly putting in bets, Derek. For me, it's always evaluating, what do I think the percentage chances of a certain bet winning or occurring or whatnot. And if I think there's edge in that bet, even if I think the bet's going to lose, even if I think it's a bet that really, like, for example, if someone said to me, I'll give you 101 odds the game goes in overtime, do I think the game's going to go in overtime? No. But if you're going to give me 101 odds on it, I'd make a large wager on it, right? Because the odds to me would be way above what I would consider to be a fair number. So that's what I would say to people is, if you're going to do this long term, don't be afraid to lose a bet. Because if you keep finding value in numbers and you keep doing it and doing it and doing it, that 3-1 example I gave, you're going to bet 4 times, and you're going to go 1-3, and you're going to win 400 on the 100, 400 that you win the one time and lose 300 the time you lose. You're going to make $100. That's a nice return on your investment. You may not win it on that first bet or the second bet. You may take to the third one, but keep doing it.
Hey, Brad, speaking of numbers, what was your winning percentage, would you say, this season, for this NFL season?
Well, and again, what I specialize in, again, is two things. And I have a podcast I do called betprep.com. It's a great show. I did 153 bets this year, Derek, 153. I won 100 and I lost 53. And all these bets I give all these bets out every single week. It's a great show. And I do another one called Giving Futures. And that is something else I have to do. Like, for example, my two biggest bets of the year in terms of awards bets, Derek, Micah Parsons, it's 7-1 to win Rookie of the Year. I had a fortune on that. And obviously he's going to win that unanimously. And in pro basketball, I had Tyler Hero at 14-1 to win the Sixth Man Award. He's now minus 1,100 to win the award. I took 14-1. Those were like my two biggest individual bets. And you win something like that, it's going to cash. I'm always searching for value each week. And on my shows, Giving Futures and Giving Props. Again, I just do this stuff to help people. Truly. That's what makes me, and you got to know me, Derek. I'm a nice guy. I actually really try to just help people. And I don't do it. I don't get paid money to give these things. I'm doing it to help people because it makes me feel good. If I can help anyone, just one person win on something they weren't going to win on, because I know how hard it is to win these things, it makes me feel good.
All right, because prop bets is your specialty. All right, we're going to tap into a few I wrote down here and see if you can help people out that are listening. And I want to start with the Super Bowl MVP. There's a whole host of names you could pick from Stafford, Burrow, Kupp, Chase. Yeah. What would you tell people would be your odds-on favorite in terms of who's going to win the MVP for Super Bowl 56?
Well, the favorites, Derek, will obviously be the quarterbacks, right? But that's not where yours truly is going. There would be only two things I can look at here, okay? And my favorite one, again, this is a perfect example, by the way, what I was talking about. I'm not afraid to make a bet that I really, really, really think is going to lose. I really think this bet's going to lose. But I think the odds be more like 20-1, and I'm getting 40-1. I bet Cam Akers to win MVP. Reason being, okay, Derek, even though I do think the Bengals have a good chance to win the game, Cam Akers has taken over for Sony Michel as the lead back. And if you look at his games, Derek, last year, at the end of last year, he had like six straight games over 100 yards right in that area. And the reason he struggled was efficiency these last two games, going against two great run defenses in San Francisco, right, and in Tampa Bay. We watched Kansas City run at will against Cincinnati last week. Every carry McKinnon got, every carry CEH Hilaire got was at least 5 yards, right? And I could see a scenario like that Arizona game where maybe they get off to a lead, okay, the Rams, and they rely on the running game. They rely on the running game, and Cincinnati just is not able to keep up. And look, I'm going to need him to get 100 yards, right? I'm going to need him to get 100 yards. I need the Rams to win. But I think there's certainly a narrative where he gets 100 yards. And what I like about it, let's suppose he gets 100 yards, Derek. It means there's a better chance that Stafford didn't throw for 300. Doesn't mean he won't. And there's a better chance that Kupp didn't explode because there's only so many yards to go around. So if I know I'm getting them, which is why if you bet Stafford for MVP, or if you bet Kupp for MVP, there's a chance they both had great games, right? So they could take away from each other. By betting on the running back, it means that maybe we'll get a game like that Cardinals game where Stafford only passed the ball 17 times and they ran the ball like 50 times. Now, the other guy, if I had to pick one other guy, would be Cooper Kupp at 6-1, just because he's been so freaking good, Derek. And maybe he has like a 160-yard game and like a Santonio Holmes kind of game that Holmes had against Arizona, that game where Big Ben did not win MVP. But I would rather take a chance on the 40-1 on Cam Akers, just because I think Cincinnati's run defense is vulnerable. 40-1, yeah, I took a dollar.
Okay, first team to score.
Well, here's one again. Like you should, again, the Rams, even though, again, my own personal opinion is that this game's more closer to 50-50, but if you can get the Rams minus $1.20 to score first, that is a good wager because the Rams are 2-1 favorite to win the game. So, again, what I think is irrelevant, I'm just trying to do the math. So anything with the Rams on those kind of bets is usually going to have more value, Derek, because in theory, they are supposed to win the game 2 out of 3 times. So if you can get them close to even money to score first, it's a good
wager. All right, first team to record a sec.
Well, on this one, now again, both teams clearly can do it, but to me, this is one where I do think there's in my opinion, a legitimate edge for the Rams. They were, I think, 5th in the league in sacks or something like that. And the Bengals gave up the most pressure this year of like any team. Have to lean for the Rams there. I definitely think they are the clear favorite.
All right, successful field goals in this game. The over-under set at 3.5.
Well, what I would tend to prefer is there was a field goal prop. I did it. I bet McPherson to kick the longest field goal, -105. Reason being, look, this guy is, I don't want to call him Justin Tucker Light. That's probably a little too far to go. But what's he, 13 for 13, or something like that in these last couple of games. He's been kicking field goals like crazy. He's been kicking 50-yarders like crazy. To me, Matt Gay is a below-average kicker, average at best. I took a shot at McPherson because he's a much stronger
leg. All right, here's one from the category of I cannot believe people actually bet on this stuff. The first team to call a timeout.
Well, listen, Derek, and again, and I listen to everyone out there. If you want to have your fun and do these kind of bets, awesome. Enjoy it. Just bet responsibly. But just understand, bets like that are, for the most part, Derek, really kind of luck-based. I really try to stay in anything where I think there's an edge in me actually finding it. Look, I guess the only thing I would say is McVay treats his challenges the way I treat my food. It just goes quickly. And he's when I'm watching him challenge these things, I was like, what the heck is he doing? I will say this. I've seen the Rams, and did you watch that game, Derek? Didn't it seem like they keep snacking the ball at zero? And so maybe just because of that, if you're asking me, because they were playing closer to this, waiting till the clock was zero, maybe Stafford would be like, time out, when the clock's at zero, maybe I would lean Rams just because of those.
All right, here's one that's really emerged as a popular prop bet. The length of the national anthem, which is now set at, the over-under is set at 95 seconds. Mickey Guyton, who I'm not a country music fan, but she's a rising country music star. The over-under for the national anthem. You going over 95 seconds or under it?
Well, it's funny. Well, it's interesting. By the way, I'm going to give you a little secret here, Derek. When you follow these bets, okay, and I do, and if let's suppose you see it's 95 seconds and it's yes -110, no -110, and then you see yes -150, yes -180, yes -250, yes -300, your inclination may be like, oh, wow, this was a 50-50 bet. Let me take the under, or let me go the other way and get quote-unquote value. No. Usually what happens is there are rehearsals in this stuff, Derek, and someone knows. And let me tell you something. People bet this stuff, and they bet it big. So if you see it going one way, it's an avalanche at that point. Jump on board, because almost 99% of the time, that's going to be an accurate way of looking at it. I will say this. Seems like most of them recently, Derek, have been 2 minutes. So 95 seconds seems low. But again, to me, the nuts is, so to speak, seeing if you can get information, Google, what the practice things are doing. Right. And if you see the practice session was at 102 seconds or something like that, well, then obviously I'd bet the over. See, it's at 88 seconds. I'd obviously bet the under.
All right. Now, I need you to give me your top three prop bets for Super Bowl 56 and why.
Ooh. Wow, you're capping me at three. All right, I like the pressure here, man. I like the pressure. All right, look, I'm gonna give you a couple simple ones that I just like. Who will have the most rushing yards in this game? To me, there's really only two players that can do it. Okay, so I don't understand this line at all. I took +$1.40 on Cam Akers. I really can't see any way there's a third player. I'm trying to be objective about it. Is it possible there's an injury or something like that? I guess. Could Sony Michel, is over 40 yards, could he do it? I guess. But I really am throwing out those two players. To me, this is at least a 50-50 bet. The Rams are, even though, again, I think it's going to be a close game, the Rams are the most likely winner here. And I think the Rams have a better chance, Derek, of having success running the ball than the Bengals do. So I'm going to take Cam Akers +$1.40 to be the leading rusher in the game. Next, Derek, Cooper Kupp. I mean, this guy's been one of my best money makers all year. I've made a fortune off him, and I've been backing him left, right, and up the middle. And I'm going to do it again. Most receiving yards in the game, Cooper Kupp plus $1.50. I know he's going to lead the Rams. Okay, he's led the Rams every game. So I know he's going to do that, as good as Odell has been. He's going to lead the Rams. Can Ja'Marr Chase beat him? Of course he can. Can T. Higgins beat him? Of course he can. Will they beat him? I don't think so. So I'm going to take plus $1.50 on something I actually think is going to happen. So you want to give me 3-2 odds? Derek, that's how we're making our million. And then one more bet for you. Oh, God, Derek, it's tough because there's a bunch of these I like. I will go with I'm going to go Van Jefferson under 2.5 catches.
What?
And the reason I'm going to take Van Jefferson under 2.5 catches, Derek, he has been struggling since Odell's become much more of the focal point of this team. Van Jefferson, his last 9 games has gone under this total. He's actually gone under this total. I'm sorry. 7 of his last 8 games. 7 of his last 8 games. He's gone 2-2-1-4-2-1-2-2. And his targets have just been very, very light. Okay. He's only getting targeted about 3 times a game. So I'm going to take a shot on Van Jefferson not to be heavily involved.
Wow. All right. All you people out there listening, you've heard it from the man himself. You know, you mentioned something a short while ago, and, you know, it's something that really made me gravitate towards you when we first got to know each other. You talk about how you just like to help people. There's no monetary gain in it for you. You just like to help people just find a measure of success when it comes to the betting game. But I will twist it up a little bit. As much as you help people, are there certain tidbits that you do keep for yourself?
Well, you can't give away all the secrets.
There you go. There you go.
Can't give them all away. I'm nice. I'm not that nice. I'm not Mother Teresa. I'm just Teresa. I'm not Mother Teresa. So, I mean, I try, though, but I really do heartfelt. I really do try to help people, and it makes me feel good. It actually really makes me feel good if I can help people. But yeah, there's certain things because if you do say certain things, then maybe they won't be there. And I'm not trying to be selfish or anything like that. But yeah, there are certain things you maybe, you know, have to hold back a little bit on certain wagers that you see each week on some of these sites. Because if you do bring them up and they do become too mainstream, they won't be there for me to take. But if you look at this stuff and study it, again, I study it 24/7 because I enjoy it. It's actually, I love it. Like, I'm lucky. Like, I actually do something I now love. And if you do something you love, it makes it a lot easier, Doug.
You know, he is one of the nicest human beings you will ever want to meet and one of the more genuine people you ever want to meet. And that's why I love Brad Feinberg as much as I do, because you won't find better people. Hey, everybody out there, please follow Brad on his Twitter page at Brad's Best Bet. You can also see him on NBC Sports Philadelphia. And as he just mentioned in his podcast, you can also follow him at betprep.com. And for my money, and it's in my opinion, he is one of the leading betting authorities in this region. And I can't thank him enough for taking a few minutes to share some inside knowledge and some intel with us here on Gun on One. My man, thank you so much.
Hey, listen, Tom Brady was the GOAT in football. To me, you're the GOAT in media. Man. I truly mean that. Oh, no, you are. No, but you are. You are. And again, everyone who listens knows how great Derek is. Look, I had the chance, and I just want to say this to everyone listening. It's interesting. And I said this to Derek off air. When I came into work for NBC, you know, no one knew who I was. People still probably don't know who I am. But Derek was so nice to me, and he was obviously the main guy there, and everyone looked up to Derek for all the amazing things he's done throughout the years. But he treated me like he would treat your best friend. He was so nice, so kind to me. It made someone like me that didn't have any media experience, and he's like a Hall of Fame media guy, made me feel welcome from day one. And that shows you what kind of person Derek is, which is why I just think he really is the greatest. And that's why I truly would do anything for him. So everyone listening, he is exactly what you would hope he is in real life.
Are you trying to make me choke up here? You almost got me.
I say the truth, and that's again. I always say in life, like, give me the person who's a nice person, not the guy who's the best athlete. Give me the guy. He's a guy I'd be friends with, a guy I'd want to hang out with, a guy I would trust my kids with, a guy I would you know, just like being with as a human being. Those are the kind of people to me, they make the world worth living. And you're one of those
Brad,
people.
Thank you so much, man. My admiration and respect for you is endless. And, you know, with free agency coming up and, of course, the draft coming up, hey, don't be surprised if I call you again, my man, to have you hop on.
I hope so, man. Anytime you want me, brother. Anytime. I appreciate it.
All right, man.
It.
Thank you. And that's going to wrap up this latest edition of Gun on One. Hey, we thank you for listening in. As I tell you each and every week, everybody out there, especially in these times we live in right now, stay blessed, stay safe. But more importantly, try to be a blessing to each and every person you encounter in your life. Until next time, for Brad Feinberg, I'm Derek Gunn. So long, everybody.
Of D Gun Enterprises in Patterson Square Garden. Alvin Shabazian and Wes Pendleton are the executive producers on behalf of Patterson Square Garden. Lead producer is Derek Gunn. Associate producer is John McNeil. Sound design, mixing, and mastering by Alvin Shabazian. Original music by Weatherman. For more information about the podcast, visit gunonone.com. And please don't forget to subscribe and give us a positive rating if you're feeling the show. Thank you.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.